get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJSF 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
So moving on to today's big gay news, of course that is something that we tend to cover here at CanQueer. First of all, speaking of maybe a lack of news last week, you know when your teacher tells you to save as you go, save your work, you know, your dog ate it isn't a very good excuse. Well, mea culpa, I have an apology for all of our regular listeners because I had it wasn't a catastrophic technical failure. It was a catastrophic Luke and technical failure. Yes. My computer ran out of space. I tried to free up space and accidentally deleted the whole of the show last week. So
I think it's also an issue that your laptop is so old that if it were a human, it would be in its third year of university by now.
Yeah, my laptop is so old. Alan Turing thought it was old. Like it was, you know, it's getting there for sure. Uh-huh.
Your laptop is so old it needs Rogaine.
Ooh, wasn't very good. All right, but before we move on, it was a sense of celebration this past weekend, or this past week, over at the folks with Pink Triangle Press, so the PTP Pink Triangle Press Awards, the Pink Awards, were a celebration of LGBTQ2S+ folks across Canada. They were celebrating a number of Canadians, I believe Elliot Page and, of course, Rufus Wainwright, and then they were organised by Pink Triangle Press as a whole at large, and a number of charities were also recognised and awarded. Now, I've seen something very similar to this for a number of years. I think The Advocate out of the USA has a very similar awards, and pinknews.co.uk in the UK also has a long-running awards process as well. I mean, it makes sense. There are few organizations in the queer community that has a sense of the breadth of what's happening across the country, other than queer media, like the people who are looking at and reporting on the twins.
I would argue the sort of second order pride organizations like Fierté Canada Pride or like the different, or like World Pride, all the different pride organizations that themselves are not pride organizations, but they're organizations that organize pride organizations. Like they are pretty tapped in. They're very aware of what's going on, but I don't know if they would do an award ceremony for a musician. I think they would take a very different angle. They would focus a little bit more on academics and non-for-profits, social organizations, small businesses, that kind of thing. They would focus more on that, which is fine. You know, it would be a completely different beast, and I think both of them have their place, obviously.
Absolutely. Well, we are thrilled that queer excellence is being recognised, and we will leave that lane wide open for Pink Triangle Press to pursue. Elementary school in Vanderhoof, BC. Now, this Vanderhoof Elementary School was on. This is a story coming from the CBC. Some great reporting by there. The mayor of the Vanderhoof has said that he is pretty disturbed by letters being sent to school teachers in that small town of about 4,000 people. Now, it's worth noting that earlier in the year, in that small town in BC, The local pride crosswalk, the rainbow crosswalk, was defaced. RCMP are investigating that. But nobody has been willing to share the contents of these disturbing letters sent to school teachers. However, the mayor has said that this is, quote, this is not Vanderhoof, quote, we are not hate, we are a loving community, and it's a sad day that people tarnish that when they do these acts. They also referenced the BC Human Rights Board and, sorry, Human Rights Code and the commission that works on it and the obligations therein. It seems like it is evidently hateful speech, whether or not it's criminally hateful. The police are investigating. We have not seen at Kenkwea the contents of these hateful messages in Vanderhoof, BC. But it is quite something when it seems like the town has rallied around and said, not in my backyard. You know, this is not something that reflects me in this community. So the other big Canadian story I have this week, well, maybe it's not that big, because really, how big is 16,000 commemorative ribbons in the square? Well, it is
Okay,
big
yes, that's a
enough for the Guinness World Records to say that this was, in fact, the largest ribbon mosaic ever created, or at least shown to the Guinness World Record folks. The recently you're gonna get the name for it, Canadian Foundation for AIDS Research, CANFR, recently teamed up in a bit of an effort to raise awareness. AIDS Committee of Ottawa also attended, as well as local politicians and many others. They were sort of commemorating the impact that HIV has had in Canada. The 16,000 ribbons in this mosaic, which I believe may still be a bit visible for folks going through Ottawa, represents the number of Canadians who are living with HIV but not yet on treatment. 16,000, every one of them, any one of them, could be the source of a new infection, which, of course, how vectors of disease spread.
It is one of the greatest problems with HIV is that the gap between infection and when you become symptomatic, it can be a few months, it can be a few decades. And that gap between the two is part of what's driving the spread of the infection. It's very frustrating from a preventative point of view. It's not like some things like the flu, you can set your watch to it. It's about 2.5 days between infection and the first sign showing up. But like not HIV, it's just too unpredictable. And that's one of the issues, the number of people who are infected and don't know.
It's always worth noting, and I first of all, you should know for your own health. You know what I mean? It is, you can't, getting HIV does impact your own personal health. It is a concern. It is something that can be managed. The medication has come a long way. But more importantly, if you are one of those 16,000 and you're willfully unaware of your HIV status, if you were to then pass that along to somebody, not being aware is frankly not good enough. And in the eyes of the law, ignorance is not an excuse, especially when you could go to any doctor's office, any blood work, and ask for a basic HIV test. They are available for at-home testing. You can just Google HIV at-home test Canada, and you can go from there. The community-based research centre, I think it was, had a huge grant from the government to mail out HIV testing kits about a year or so back that we reported on. So the means to know the information is there. The consequence of choosing not to know and acting irresponsibly is significant. We strongly encourage everybody, just as par the course of your health checkups, monitoring, etc., just go and get that checked, because when you know and you don't have it, amazing, great, good job. If you do know and you do have it, there is a clear path to recovery, and there are plenty of supports available as well. But not knowing and choosing not to know, frankly, unacceptable. Don't be a part of this mosaic, as beautiful as it is, and as record-breaking. It is unfortunate that 16,000 Canadians make up this mosaic of those who do not know that they have HIV. Now, Sebastian, last week I gave you breaking news. I don't know
Yes.
if it's not breaking for you because you were here last week, and of course I
Yes.
deleted the show, so nobody else heard it. But there is even more breaking news. We should have a new segment called "Breaking News of People Who Have Been Dead for Quite a While." Like, I feel like that's really where we're at. We talked. Well, I say dead. We
A little
talked
bit
about it earlier.
sarcastic though. Like, remember when we quote unquote broke the news that King Arthur may or may not be gay, and we just mocked the researchers for
Yeah,
the
I don't think it was it King Arthur or Merlin? It was somebody, it was one of those.
Well, Merlin may or may not have been a person, but there was a unifying king who helped unite the Celtic clans against the Romans, and that may have been the basis for the myth of Arthur. So there was somebody out there that this is based on. The fact that he had like a court wise man who helped him out, pretty likely, but there's different archaeological records in terms of Arthur and Merlin in terms of the quality. But yeah, no, yeah, the breaking news.
The breaking news
Yes.
on things people that have been dead for quite a while. Ancient Pompeii
Yes.
is where we first break our breaking news. For those who are thinking, what on earth is new about Pompeii? We're talking about the bodies who are encased in ash. Well, two of those bodies were long thought to be sisters. They were small, slender bodies, I assume. And well, it's hard to tell, they were encased in ash. But they have done some DNA testing quite recently, hence the breaking news, and discovered that one of these sisters had a penis. And there is now a new theory that these two maidens, these two sisters, this potential mother-daughter combo, could in fact be gay lovers, two males from Pompeii encased in ash. Now, last week on the show that never made it to air, the Lost Tomb of Kenkwea, you did mention some other ash-stricken individuals from ancient Pompeii, including the grief-ridden faces of those who saw it coming. And then one individual who certainly didn't see it coming, and that was, the one who was caught in an act of self indulgence.
Onanism.
Yes, oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, we're not talking about that one. We're talking about
No.
these two maidens
Yeah.
who, in breaking news, may be gay and male.
Really, what they've done is they've confirmed that one of them is male and the two of
Yes.
them are huddled up. I mean, I'm looking at the image right now. This could be literally anything. This could be two people standing next to each other who just fell down in a position. It could be an older brother and a younger sibling of either sex. It could be anything. Like, it's, I don't know. I think people are reading into it quite a bit.
Well, if that's not breaking news enough for you, Sebastian, I want to talk about another person who's been dead for quite a while. And this is breaking news this week about Oscar Wilde.
Yes.
Now,
Yes.
famously, Oscar Wilde was a very charismatic man and a brilliant writer. I think he did the Portrait of Dorian Gray, if my memory is serving me correctly.
The Importance of Being Earnest and Lady Chandelier, Chandelier? Ladies Windermere's Fan.
Exactly.
The fairy tale about the prince with diamonds in his eyes, rubies in the eyes. But anyway, sorry, go on.
Quite a prolific career, but then he got involved with somebody that maybe he shouldn't have. I think it was the nephew of a duke who didn't take very kindly to his nephew being caught trial down
Oh,
with one Oscar Wilde.
yes, the Queensbury, the Duke of Queensbury, the guy that developed the boxing rules. It was his nephew.
Exactly. Well, to fight off the court case that he eventually lost, leading to his own imprisonment, Oscar Wilde had a private collection of over 2,000 literary works. There's been a bit of a been a bit of an effort, to say that five times fast, a bit of an effort to recreate this ancient collection, well, not ancient collection, this Oscar Wilde collection of books to understand what it was that helped craft his vision and his style and his work, just understand him more as an author. Well, in breaking news, a librarian at the University of College London has discovered three books that had been previously owned by Oscar Wilde. There are only about 40 of them that have been found out of the 2,000 that had initially that he initially owned. They include The Golden Lotus and Other Legends of Japan by Edward Gree, a 1982 translation of Maulana Abdulrahman Jami's The Book of Joseph and Zulaikha. My apologies for mispronunciation on any of that. And Oscar Wilde's own play, Salome, which he, of course, authored and owned a copy of himself. What's really interesting is that there was a signed letter, I believe, in the book of the Golden Lotus, signed by Greer, gifting it to the Irish writer Oscar Wilde. So, who knew that both ancient Pompeii and Oscar Wilde would continue to break news in 2024? But we have run out of time for today's opening segment. We will be back just after our first track of the day. This is Don Politico, Political Man by Adrian Sutherland, and we will be back just after.
Por mí últimamente. Politician.
welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And we talked about last week in the lost episodes about the recent election of one Donald J. Trump to the presidency of the United States. Now, this is a story that has been already, within a week, talked to death. So yes. We're not going to loll about on the Trumpian win. But rather want to highlight some of the specifically queer elements, and then we might splatter in some of the US stories. We generally, as Can Queer, do not usually cover American news.
Yes.
Not that we think any less of our American queer friends and family, but rather that there is so much news. You could do a weekly show just on queer news out of the States.
Yeah.
But we'd rather focus on interesting stories from around the world and, of course, Canadian queer news. That being said, we can't really ignore this one, can we, Sam?
No.
Okay. Well, let's start off with a exit poll that found that 86% of LGBTQ-identified persons asked, this is, I think it was Edison Research. They do a significant amount of data research for a number of cable networks, CNN, I think, a bunch of others. And what they found from the people that they surveyed, thousands and thousands of people as they left the polls, in that group, those who identified as lesbian, gay, bi, trans, queer, etc., 86% of them had voted for Kamala Harris compared to President Trump. Now, I think when we look at the number of black women, for example, that was closer to 90% all voting for Kamala. So queer folks coming in a little bit close behind, coming in for Kamala as well. Now, you, if I recall, you said that that's not as many as has voted for the Democrat in the past, that the margin seems to have closed away from Harris's, the Democrats' favor this particular election.
Well, it's probably a little bit more accurate to say, if you look at election by election, the number of people who vote for Democrats, like the total number of votes for the Democrats is moderately stable over time. The whether or not they win or lose really comes down to how many people are motivated to go out and vote for the Republicans. If you look at the vote count for Republicans, it goes wild over time. Sometimes it's half as many as Democrats. Sometimes, like recently, it's way more. There actually is a sort of a queer angle to that. Do you know about Scott Presler?
Is he one of the normal gays? There was a push to get the normal gays to vote for Trump.
He is the one who single-handedly got 200,000 Amish to vote, and he is openly gay, and he reached across the aisle and he spoke with the Amish, who normally don't like gay men and normally don't vote. They actually have internal community policies that voting is an outside world business, and Scott Presler convinced them to show up to vote, and 200,000 people who normally would, he's actually considered to be one of the single most successful door-to-door get out to vote promoters in the history of American elections. And he's a gay man.
I think you also said that the head of the Libertarian Party was also a gay man.
Yes, he was.
And is. I don't think he's died. So he's,
no, and he was very, very aggressive about getting American libertarianism. Libertarianism is really weird because you've got like classical libertarians, which are more like the British libertarians. You've got the Vermont style East Coast libertarians. You've got the Texas don't tread on me style libertarians. And he was very focused on unifying American libertarians under a banner of social liberties, which means ejecting, very aggressively ejecting all of the homophobic. Specifically the homophobic, because there's not a lot of misogynist libertarians. I mean, obviously you're going to have individuals within any group who are bad actors, but if you're talking about individual rights and freedoms from a libertarian lens, very few of them speak out against women. But anyone who had any form of bigotry were very forcefully ejected from the party. And the libertarian camp actually got more votes this time than usual. And they do attribute that that's part of why. A lot of it was also just people who hated both of the major options and were looking for a option C. So there was some of that as well. But yeah, there is this move to sort of any party other than the Democrats. It's kind of assumed, well, I mean, the Green Party as well. But the yeah, in the States, if you're independent, if you're Republican, if you are libertarian, there's just this automatic assumption that you're homophobic and there are, well, and sexist and racist and blah, blah, blah. And there's a movement to sort of eject that and clean up the image. And the way you do that is just by alienating those kinds of supporters. Like if the head of the KKK endorses you, reject that endorsement unilaterally and say, sorry, buddy, we don't want that. And there's been a shift towards that. And the libertarians in the States were definitely a little bit more vocal about that than they were historically, partly because of, I think his name is Oscar something. He didn't win. So, I mean, unfortunately, he's not. The fact that I don't remember his name is partly due to lack of relevance. But there has been this push to move away from that, which is good, which is good. Good for the future, even if it didn't work out for the Libertarian Party this time.
Well, there are some others that have had some success. Sarah McBride became the first openly trans member of Congress, winning the seat in Delaware. There was also a law passed in the state of New York, which would have added an equal right amendment to the state constitution, essentially enshrining in New York law efforts to protect equal rights and kind of really defend them against any kind of federal overreach, i.e. Any impact from the Trump government at the federal level. Not everybody had a great time. Crisis calls to LGBTQ crisis phone lines jumped by up to 700%. According to the Trevor Project, a national LGBTQ crisis line operator in the United States, they noted that it was, when they looked at the couple of weeks leading up to it and then the week or two following, absolute landslide of calls for help and support by folks directly impacted. We saw some people, I mean, it's really one of the things that I think is dominating a lot of the conversation coming out of this election is people leaving family members, leaving spouses, all sorts of the severity of the disconnect and the distance between an emerging far right and the far left. There's not many people that seem to be left in the middle.
Yeah, it's become controversial to say, I disagree with you, but that's okay. Like there's a lack of that. Fortunately, in Canada, we have not gone down that road. We haven't moralized it quite to the same degree. If you vote for this party or don't vote for that party, I'm going to assume that you are a bad person. It's just I am going to assume that you have a different value set from me, which is fair. That is part of what drives political choices, is your value set. So you could just say, well, I thought you had different values from that, and that's fine, but that doesn't necessarily reinterpret a person as being bad or stupid or crazy, which is another thing that comes up quite a bit. There is a lot of people also underestimate revenge voting. Like I'm pretty convinced that the Ford government has done pretty successfully in Ontario because people were just vengeance voting over the previous government. And there's a very good chance that Poilievre is going to have a landslide in the upcoming election because people just really don't like Trudeau. And it's not really a good way to run a country. But on the other hand, if you really want to make sure that somebody you don't like is going to get out of office, then you go for the most likely winner. And I don't know. I hate strategic voting. Bring in ranked ballots. But anyway,
the system we have drives people to a winner-takes-all model, and it further pushes to the extremes. It doesn't build that consensus in the middle. People are genuinely worried, including the chaplain Anita Miloro of Iowa. Through the organization The Lesbians of Iowa, they are frantically marrying people. We actually spoke to some friends of ours who has seen lesbian couples up and down the states looking to get married as quickly as possible. And it's not all Hyperbole. Now, are they
Yeah, it
coming
makes it
for the
sound like
game?
lesbians are jumping out of the bushes and grabbing people and dragging them off to get married. Like
But
it's
whether or
they're
not
not just
lesbians
going
jumping
around.
out of bushes, I do not have evidence to
It's just
back